Well, good morning. Kelly here. Little change up there. We had the computer set up for, without boring you too much with the details, had the computer set up for the satellite. In any event, the shocking announcement of Sitel closing reveals small city in a major crisis. Las Cruces could not afford to lose the major employer Sitel and its 400 jobs. So why did the Cruces Sitel site close? Is the corporation going out of business? No. Is the New Mexico wind shifting down? Is the site here, the New Mexico branch of Sitel shutting down? No. Are they relocating in southern New Mexico? No. In fact, the Albuquerque office of Sitel claims to be hiring. So what is happening? It's another example of the bad business atmosphere in Doniana County. As if I need to remind you, the Golden Globes and the world of sports this weekend offered some more metaphors for Doniana in the failure of leftism and politics as seen through the prism of celebrity. First, the Golden Globes occur, and it is used as another opportunity by our cult for our cult of celebrities to attack the lawfully elected incoming president. In Meryl Streep's speech, we see not the grace of age or the wisdom of the ages, but the mindless and self-righteous spirit of those who only seek public acclaim over all else. Then we see the odd and accidentally hilarious figure of former Red Sox superstar Manny Ramirez, who after treating the press and fans like garbage for years, and despite making him filthy rich and world famous, he hated the public, but now he can't seem to let go. Manny is a stand-in for Barack. And by the way, Manny is planning on playing now in Japan, I think. Manny is a stand-in for Barack, who along with this ultra... with his ultra self-righteous wife, after spending 8 years acting like he was too good for the office and as if he personally transcended it and the country and the world itself, he has now announced he will spend the rest of his life in D.C. on a permanent campaign against Trump. And so back to Las Cruces and Doniana. Where are leaders like Kim Yagashima, who are acting like they're too good for us and announcing it's a no-growth area? We now reap the rewards of such idiotic behavior and ideas and attitude. Living in poverty and squalor because we accept the abusive and indifferent representation of those in power. May we finally repent of our mindless leftism and save ourselves from destitution. Good morning, Kelly O'Connell here. As I said, the beginning of the show was set up for the satellite feed of the other show, whatever the name of that is. I do appreciate you tuning in nonetheless. And so anyway, I was absolutely stunned as you were about this announcement from Sitel that they're pulling out of the area. And I found that the news break, the news flash, the story in the Sun News to be very informative, the company is shutting down and it does not reflect on the performance of the Las Cruces Center. Anticipated closing date is on March 26th. Let me ask you this. Has the mayor thought about contacting Sitel and asking what changes, if we made them, would keep them to stay in town? These business leaders, pardon me, these political leaders who act like they're above the fray, that the business world is somehow disconnected from everything else and is a naturally occurring phenomenon, like the trees growing and putting out leaves and then the leaves falling off every winter and then the cycle starting again. That is exactly what people like Ken Miyagashima want you to think, and Wayne Hancock and Billy Garrett But the fact of the matter is, it is the it's the red tape. It's the tax structure. It's how people are how businesses are treated by City Hall that causes businesses to want to come and stay, open up, or leave. So Seitel's marketing and communication department, Shirley Lobsack, says Seitel has had the honor of working in the Las Cruces area for 10 successful years, and our associates have been extremely active in contributing members of the community. Unfortunately, our business model does not allow for us to remain in this market. Please know this was a business decision and not a reflection on associate performance or the quality of the team. So number one, Seitel is saying they didn't fail Doniana. Then she says, based on this change, Seitel issued an official warn letter to each associate in the state of New Mexico as required by law on January 5, 2017. This has been a very difficult decision due to the tremendous support we have received and relationships we have built within the Las Cruces community. Seitel Las Cruces leadership is certain that associates will continue to provide excellent customer service throughout this transition and will handle customers with the highest level of professionalism and care. They are also confident that by working together, we will ensure the most efficient transition for clients, associates, and a community. And then it says in the article, the organization's, the Sun News article, the organization's Albuquerque call centers have been adding employees through 2016, according to the company news release. Nationwide, Seitel employs 75,100 associates, supporting more than 400 client organizations and businesses from 146 facilities in 22 countries. So, David Lopez, president and CEO of the Mesilla Valley Economic Development Alliance, said that loss of jobs is a blow to the community and work is underway to find a new business to occupy the building. Well, look, how many empty buildings do we have in this valley? And, you know, God rest his soul, when Miguel was running for mayor, I told him, I said, look, I actually, you know, I gave him some input. I said, make your campaign focus on all the empty buildings, all the empty commercial buildings in this town. Apparently, Ken Miyagashima has repeatedly told people that this is a no-growth area. But what does that mean? I mean, I guess it means like the businesses like Seitel are not welcome in town unless they adapt to us. We don't adapt to them. We don't make a good business environment for this town, so people want to come here. We set up this crappy system where people have to jump through all these hoops so that they can set up a business in one of the poorest counties in the United States, which you think is a coincidence, right? It's like, do you really think 8 years of no growth in America has been a coincidence? It's the effect of poor leadership. And this is after these guys got $58,000. But now get this, we were told by the people who wanted an increase in the minimum wage that the increase in minimum wage would have a net positive impact on the community and that we would end up with more jobs. I mean, all the crazy nonsense that the leftists do, what leftism does, far leftism does, is it gives you the outcomes that you want. Better health, bigger economy, more government support for people, higher wages, better quality of life, all these different things. And then they walk back from that and say, this is how we get there. We get to a better quality of life through raising the minimum wage. Okay, so the 400 people that were working at Seitel, and the article here notes Just days after the city's minimum wage law increased to $9.20 an hour, the mayor said Sytel's closure was not affected by the wage hike. Most employees there already make more than a minimum wage. That's not the issue. The issue is that you're living in a city that says that we're no growth. What right does the mayor have to speak for everybody in this town and say, we are a no-growth town? How many people, I mean, if they did a poll, how many people in this county do you think would say, yeah, it's a good idea, we don't want any growth here? Which I assume they do because no growth means no more global warming from this community, right? I mean, it's got to be something mindless like that, doesn't it? I mean, who is in a community and says the best decision for us is no growth? I mean, it would be one thing if we were Hong Kong and it was, you know, there were so many people stuffed in here, you really couldn't, you know. Or it was some other place that the business was so off the hook that it really wouldn't matter. But how do you think Hong Kong developed into one of the world's powers, even though it's in a very small area? How did they develop into a world power? I mean, I assume that Dona Ana is many, many, many times bigger than Hong Kong, right? So what did they do to become world-class business area? Well, what they were is they were an outpost from the British Kingdom, the United Kingdom, England, and they didn't have a lot of laws there in terms of, you know. So they just brought in the basic economic theory of Adam Smith, and you know, that place took off like a rocket, and it's still growing. It's, you know, the economy there is still growing. Singapore, same thing, same exact thing. And Singapore was so successful that they were used by China as a model for how to build an economy. So the British, the Chinese economy is based on a British model through Singapore. So we've got all of this, you know, I mean, here's the thing. This would be like somebody in the community, some community leader standing up and saying, this is a no gravity area. We've decided that, you know, in the same way that we're a sanctuary county or whatever, we're going to defy the federal government. We're also going to defy the universe and declare this a no gravity area. What's, you know, how much, you know, so we act like the rules of economy, the economic rules, the rules of human nature and the rules of history don't apply to us, right? I mean, if you're the mayor and you see this, which I realize the mayor's mostly a symbolic job, but he acts like, yeah, he's got the same attitude as Barack Obama. I'm above the job. I'm above the people. You're lucky that I would stop and talk to you. I'm so much smarter and better educated and so much better informed that, you know, really it's a waste of my time to talk to you. But, you know, so, you know, we've got this situation with an economy that is, you know, you can't go to the school, which is a well-regarded school in some programs. You can't go to the school and go find a job in this community and be near your family. Why? Because we're a no-growth area. So the city and the county do things on purpose to make sure that we don't grow. So what are we achieving here? You know? 523-1450, I'm outraged that the county continues and the city continues to put in policies and laws that keep businesses from wanting to move here and keep and make businesses that are already established here want to leave. Aren't you? 523-1450. We'll be back. Here's some Dr. John waiting for a train. A very appropriate, very appropriate song for a city that they want to turn into Hobo Island. We got a phone call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, it's Randy.
Randy, I mean, are you with me on this?
Yeah, I am. You know, I'm looking at it. I'm kind of researching it because I was kind of in the dark. But You know, Albuquerque only went up a nickel. They went from 875 to 880, and the state is 750. Okay? But then Albuquerque also, for employers that offer health care, they're at 780. So they're a dollar less for employees that are offering health care, which is only 30 cents above the state's New Mexico wage. Las Cruces went from 840 to 920. And I'm looking for an article that tells me if that's with or without health care. Because if they've got to do 920 plus provide health care on top of that, we priced ourselves out of the market.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I don't know. I don't have a clip of the mayor saying the county and city are anti-growth. But everybody knows we're anti-growth. Everybody knows we're on the bottom of lists of places where national franchises want to come. And Randy, I happen to know that you're in business. What is your opinion of the business, you know, the business set up in this county and city?
New Mexico, slow growth across the, you know, I deal with and compete against Colorado, Arizona, or whatnot for growth within our business. And New Mexico, there's very little growth. It seems like there's more going on in Las Cruces than there is in places like Alamogordo, which would blow away without Holloman, Clovis, Roswell. Roswell's got a lot of growth going on. I mean, you know, you go over there and you just see things happening. I kind of have that same opinion when I go to Cruces. I see things, you know, growing, but I don't know whether there's a disincentive for, you know, a town the size of Cruces can't afford to lose a 400-job corporation. And your question is exactly right. Has anybody from the city gone to them and say, what would it take to make you stay?
Well, and I mean,
everything's a negotiation in these days, and it does look like it's a fallout from Barack Obama's health care that, you know, you got to provide health care, and yet we're going to raise the minimum wage. How can you do both?
Well, I mean, it is a truism now, in my opinion, that this is a bad place to do business compared to other places. And if you listen to Ben Rossin, he'll come on the show and he will recite statistics that fill you in on why exactly businesses would rather be located someplace else. And he's got a very large business himself. But what is it going to take for this city to wake up and pay attention?
I don't know. That's quite a jump, though. From 840 to 920 is quite a jump. It's quite a jump.
Well, the mayor, Randy, the mayor gets up and says this has nothing to do with minimum wage. Okay, let's just say in isolation it doesn't have anything to do with minimum wage. Pretending that you're God incarnate in this county, why don't you humble yourself and get together with the city and the county and say we're going to make this a good place to open a business? Why is that a bad thing?
How can it not have something to do with minimum wage? If you're a private employer, small employer, how can you afford to hire somebody? And how can you say it doesn't have anything to do with minimum wage if your cost just went up from 820 to 920, from 840 to 920?
Well, they're going to argue that they start off at $10 an hour, so it doesn't affect them. But all of this stuff it's like if you study anything to do with game management, if you're a game manager, a person who's working for the Forest Service, and you're given an area to manage the animals there, one animal affects another animal, and the amount of rain and pollution and human traffic, all of these things make an impact on these animals and on the vegetation. And that's what we have to look at here. There is a multiplier effect here of all of the bad policies.
Well, you're throwing out, you know, $10 an hour as, you know, they're already making 10. They shouldn't be. I mean, you know, minimum wage is an entry-level job, and as a college town, you've got students that aren't expected to make a living wage. They're in school. They've got student loans. They got support from family, whatnot. They're at a transition in their life where they're not expected to be making a living wage while they're going to school. Now, some people say, wait a minute, well, you know, I'm an adult learner, and I'm this and I'm that. Well, you know, there are people that have to make a living wage, but that's not everybody else's problem if you don't have the skill set yet to enter into the workforce and show that you deserve to make above minimum wage.
You're right. And
it shouldn't just be guaranteed.
Well, and not only that, but you have this utopianism. The utopianism says that all jobs have to be able to support a family of four or whatever the model is. You separate your economic policies from reality. If you have more gradations within these jobs, then you give incentive not only to people, to workers, but to businesses to take on more workers and reward those who do better?
It's going to put a lot of the small businesses, really going to tighten them up and put a strain on them. It really is.
It's going to put.
And, you know, I was just remarking the other day on how many food trucks there are in Las Cruces and how well the food industry does. You know, just something this small can push a lot of those guys out of business.
Well, the city doesn't care because it's too busy trying to build a utopia here. In my mind, utopia is the same as catastrophic failure. A utopia cannot exist in this world, and to try to build one means that everybody suffers. Randy, I got to take a break. Anything else?
Nope. Talk to you later.
Good call. Good call, folks. Let's stand up and fight for ourselves. Why do we have to take it in the why do we have to just take the abuse in the same way that Obama spent 8 years, and I do apologize if you're an Obama fan, but he spent 8 years talking down to people and pretending that he was personally above all of this stuff and he was doing us a favor for leadership. Now, like Manny Ramirez treated his fans like garbage. He treated the media like crap. But as soon as he's out of the game, he's fighting to get back in it somehow, some way. The president's doing the same thing. The president failed. He put a crappy legislation together. Everybody knows that it's failed. And he's dying to stay in the game and save it. That's sick. 637, Kelly O'Connell will be back.
523-1450. Already running partner. Isn't he let free? There's no whistle blow. Say a prayer for me. I'm gonna hold my way to eternity.
Well, welcome back. Sorry, there was a little bit of a satellite issue this morning, so. Kelly here, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, and we've got a conversation started about what's going on in Doniana County that we can't attract businesses, and the businesses that we do get here then want to leave. And the mayor, instead of saying, I'm going to go talk to these people, I'm going to see what we can do, we'll see if we can get them to stay, the mayor turns around and says it has nothing to do with minimum wage. We just got a caller. We just got a caller who stated that that it has obviously something to do with the minimum wage. And so what I would say is, what are we doing to, and we've got a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, this is Tom Kelly.
Good morning, Tom. Hope you're well. And what's going on? What's on your mind?
Well, I just think that we ought to look at the economic impact of jobs like a Sitel coming in. You got 400 jobs that you're using outside money bringing into our community. It's not revolving money. It's outside money coming from elsewhere into this community. And those are the type of economic development that we should be working for in this community and not pushing them out.
Yeah, and I mean, so the mayor stands up and says it has nothing to do with minimum wage. Where's the leadership? I just, you know, I see a lot of comparison between Obama, this indifferent leadership attitude, this holier-than-you attitude with Obama and Ken Miyagashima. He acts like it doesn't matter if we lose 400 jobs as long as it doesn't have anything to do with minimum wage.
We should do, our leadership should be doing studies of why are they going to Texas? Why are they going to Arizona? Why are these companies not stopping here and compare? What can we do different?
Well, you know, it says in the article that they're hiring for Sitel in Albuquerque. It is all over. It's all over the media it's all over this article that they're leaving because of conditions here. Don't tell me it's something in the state when they go to Albuquerque and the Sitel leadership said we didn't fail. This particular site didn't fail. So what is that? It just leaves. There's this gap to fill in there. What else is there?
Well,
what else is there is the conditions in the county. What's your opinion?
I absolutely agree. We need to look at, just do the numbers. If you had 400 jobs and let's say it was an average of $10,000 a job, how much money is being removed out of this economy come March, I think was the date, that our leadership should step up and find out why they're leaving and try to get them back. But two is change how we're doing things. It's not, we're doing the same thing over and over and keep losing these type of jobs. So we need to change what we're doing.
Well, in the same way, nobody can imagine Obama coming to a business and saying, why are you leaving? Can we change federal policy to help make you stay? Because to somebody like that, that mindset, the federal government creates reality. So in the same way that he wouldn't do that, I don't think the mayor would do it. I think the mayor presents himself as a mini Obama. This, you know, it's just so infuriating that one of the few big employers we have has decided they're not in love with us anymore, you know?
Well, Trump did it. He went to talk to the companies themselves. You can do it. That's part of being leadership, is going and finding out what's going on. And you don't have to do status quo. You can change and you can adapt and mold to what's needed.
Yeah, so let's call out the mayor right now. Mr. Mayor, would you please contact Sytel and say, what changes would you need to see to stay in this county?
Let's do it. Call him up, Kelly.
He won't take my call. Thanks a lot, Tom.
Thank you.
Have a good day. All right, folks. So look, you can sit around and pretend that you're the greatest little city in America for as long as you want. How many more bad indicators do we need? We've got 25% of the population of the city under poverty line. 25% of the population of this city, a little bit over the poverty line. Basically, half the city is living in poverty and squalor. Is it their fault? No. You're born in this city, and you accept the things that are happening in the county because this is where you live. And the county acts like it's Shangri-La, or something. It's like we're the holy Chinese city or something. In the meantime, the leadership is in total failure, is living in this dream. All right, 6:46, I've got some weather. There's a huge crisis in California, flooding, and worst flooding in a decade in California, and massive snow. And then we'll go on to local weather. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. And this isn't even actually, I do apologize. There is a massive storm and you need to be aware of it. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Kelly.
Kelly, my name is Kathy. I wanted to talk to you off the air so you have a little more knowledge. The reason Sytel is closing shop is their contract that they were holding was for DirecTV. DirecTV is in cahoots with AT&T. AT&T wants the company outsourced to the Philippines.
All right, but I mean, we were good enough for 10 years. Why are you telling me that there's nothing in the county that is causing them to want to leave?
So far, it's all just been what AT&T wants, AT&T gets.
All right, so... Okay, then I'll state that as one caller's knowledge, but I just find it's, you know, why are we a no-growth county in general?
I don't know, but I do know DirecTV has been using the Philippines for already quite a while here. You cannot call DirecTV anymore and get a person in the United States.
All right. Anything else?
No, I just wanted you to know it's not because I think it's just all because it's cheaper labor.
Well, I mean, there may be something to what you're saying, but there's got to be a way in general to get more business in this county, don't you think?
I would certainly wish and hope so.
Well, other counties do it. Why can't we?
I don't know unless there's just not the resources here.
Well, then that's on us, too.
Yeah.
Thanks for
everybody. If you ever move, then do something about it.
Well, thanks for the call. I'll put that point of view on the air. Okay.
Yeah, they're losing their jobs, or they can transfer, like the other caller said, to Albuquerque or wherever, or they can go overseas to the Philippines.
Well, there was a reason they were here in the first place, so. And there's a reason that we don't attract any business here, and there's a reason that one of our biggest employers is shutting down. It can't be all because of the Philippines.
No, I have no answer there.
Funny enough, neither does the leadership in the county or the city.
And they're the ones that should.
Absolutely. Thanks for the call, Kathy.
You're welcome.
Have a good day. All right, bye-bye. Hey, it's Kelly.
Hey, Kelly, Ben Rossen.
Hey, good. You heard, you know that Sitel closed down, obviously.
Yes, I sure do.
So I'd like, I just got a lady who called and said it's the shutdown was because of the.
Yeah, I heard on Blog Talk. I listened.
All right. So I don't accept that. I mean, I don't accept the reason that nobody wants to come here is because the Philippines exists. That's absurd.
Well, you know, she talked about there being lower labor costs there, and we just raised the labor cost. And so the same week that the labor cost in Las Cruces rises is the week that Sitel leaves.
Coincidentally. And the mayor doesn't say, I'm going to work with him to see if I can get him to stay. He just says it's not our fault. It's not the fault of minimum wage. Okay, we're on the air. Folks, I've got Ben Rossen here on the air, and Ben called in to comment on Sitel. All right, Ben, I just got an off-the-air phone call that said the reason that this company is moving is because of the Philippines. Now, I find this hard to believe, number one, because it's stated in the same article that they're hiring for their call centers in Albuquerque. If the Philippines was the answer to Sitel's business issues, then they would shut down the whole United States Sitel and move it to the Philippines. I don't believe that. What do you think?
You know, Kelly, I understand that the mayor and others are saying this is purely coincidental, but in the very same week of the minimum wage increase, that's when we get this announcement. You know, we need to be business friendly and not chasing people away, and I think that's what we see with the example of Sitel.
All right, so what is it like? I know we've talked about this many times, but what hurdles do businesses have to overcome to open up in this county, in this city?
Well, you know, Kelly, when businesses are selling goods, and we're not just selling them locally, Ross and Builder Supply, 40% of our product goes outside of the Las Cruces area. And Sitel, what they're selling is a service that goes outside of Las Cruces. And so we have to be competitive in the entire area, not just in Las Cruces. And I think that's the piece that that a lot of our local politicians seem to miss.
All right. So we understand that how you're treated when you come to a town or a city makes you an impression on you of whether you want to come back there. What do you think businesses encounter when they come to the city and try to get a permit here?
Boy, Kelly, you know, I don't know that I can answer that. I know the that most of our developers, you know, when you start talking about building permits, most of them have left to develop in other areas because of the challenges here. As far as a business permit, I'm not sure what that what getting a new business permit entails, Kelly.
Well, I've been informed that we're on the bottom of the list. I mean, we're a big enough city to attract national chains. And I've been informed by more than one person that we're at the bottom of the list of places to open up a chain, number one. And number two, it is, I've had so many people contact me and say, could you say something on the air about how difficult it is to get permits here? And then they were talking about some intern, some girl, some young girl, like just barely out of high school and or maybe just fresh out of college, was the person that was vetting these permits, and she didn't have any knowledge. And it was just, it was agonizing to these people. And things would be brought up in the business applications that didn't have any connection to reality, but the businesses would have to jump through all these hoops. It is clear to businesses visiting from outside the area that we are not business friendly.
Yeah, we're not business friendly. I can certainly agree with that. You know, Kelly, and that's one of the reasons, not to change the subject on you, but on tomorrow's county commission meeting, we've got a gross receipts tax reduction on the agenda that I've put on the agenda. And I think that's what we've seen at the county and city level since 2002. Our tax rate used to be 6.5%. And now we're up at 8.3%. So we've seen an enormous increase in just the last 15 years on the taxes. And that's just one of the many things that businesses look at.
Oh, so the leaders of this area will tell you that little incremental increases like that and little incremental increases in the minimum wage don't have any real world impact on business decision making. What's your opinion on that?
Of course they do, Kelly. Every single one of those adds up. And when business can't be successful at it, then they look to locate other directions.
All right, Ben, we're almost out of time here. Any concluding thoughts?
That's it, Kelly. You have a great day. See you on Thursday.
Thanks a lot, Ben. All right, Ben Ross in there. All right, so I've got a little bit on your weather here.
Snow that we've had in the mountains out west over the last several weeks has been great for all the skiers, snowboarders, and things like that. But the problem is all these storm systems that have been dropping all this snow have also been dropping a ton of rain. And yes, this is all good news for the drought. But the problem is in the short term, you end up with a lot of flooding. And you see just the stream of moisture rolling in from the southwest, California, Nevada, Oregon, Washington, really just all of the Pacific Northwest. And we've got all these flash flood watches. We've got flood warnings, flood watches, basically for a good chunk of Central California. And that almost directly lines up with where the worst of the drought is. So, yeah, short-term flooding problems. Long-term, we're helping out the drought. You see this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We've got rain. We've got snow in the high terrain in California. And we don't really dry out until we get to Friday. So look at how much we're expecting. Now, keep in mind, these are generalized rain totals that we're looking at. If you get caught under a nasty, rainstorm in a place like San Luis Obispo, you could get 3 or 4 inches in an hour or two, and you know that could end up with even bigger flooding problems.
All right, so I'm looking at in Google at the number of places that are flooding. Reno, Nevada, massive flooding in some areas. Sparks, Nevada, Carmel Valley, Yosemite. I mean, just on and on. Everywhere you look in California, Bay Area flooding in Santa Clara, North Bay. There's so many floods out there. Keep those people in your prayers. Residents of Novato Trailer Park stranded by floodwaters, another area outside of San Francisco. And don't forget how bad housing prices are there, that so many people are living outside of the city and putting them at bigger, higher risk, obviously. All right, thanks for tuning into the first hour. We talked about Sitel. Let's change the business atmosphere here so we can have an economy in which people can grow their families into greater prosperity and freedom. 523-1450 AM, Las Cruces AM 1450. We'll be back after break on the hour listening to Dr. John.
Sleeping in the rain, watching to a free man, give him a little line of talk. He says, if you got your money.
Okay, folks, well, there was a little mix-up on the satellite feed this morning, so the upshot is that there's none of the usual accoutrements of the show, intros, et cetera. But anyway, here I am, Kelly 706, and we spent the first hour talking about Sitel. Now, I want to make sure people understand. I got a phone call from a lady. She said, Kathy, she said, you know, the reason Sitel is leaving is because of Philippines. So, let me ask you, is the reason that we're living in one of the poorest counties in the country, surrounded by states that have very vibrant economies, and Texas has had the top economy in the United States for years, top cities, top counties for growth and prosperity, not too far away from us. What about the Philippines and Texas? What about the Philippines and Arizona? What about the Philippines and Colorado? I mean, if it's the fault of the Philippines that Sitel is leaving, why are they hiring at Sitel up in Albuquerque? It doesn't even make any sense. I'm not saying that Kathy is wrong. There may be some, and she had mentioned DirecTV and everything, but it's not the bigger picture. And I mean, maybe the people at Sitel were told they're opening up call centers in the Philippines. They're outsourcing because everybody knows that in some of these businesses, when you call them, you can't get a hold of anybody that's not in a foreign call center. But, all right, here's the thing. Let me ask you this. When the mayor found out that Sitel was leaving, was he more like Barack Obama or was he more like Donald Trump when he received the news? Did he call Sitel? Did he get in his car and drive over and talk to them? Did he call the owners, the managers, a business of 75,000 people? Or did he just say that's just business? And did he comfort himself with the fact that business is, it's Darwinian? Only the strong survive. If Sitel was open here for 10 years and they had this beautiful building set up and had already put in the cost of establishing it here, and then they decided that it would be better to leave, who am I to try to interfere with that? Did the mayor react like a ordinary citizen? Did he get on the phone and say 400 jobs means the world to us in this county? You know, that's a 0.5% of all the people that live in this county, or 0.25%. 400 jobs is massive, a massive loss for us. And we don't want to, you know, we don't want to just accept it. Is there something about this county or this city that is a problem for you? Is there anything that we can do? Or did the mayor pull an Obama and say, I'm above this? I wasn't called here to save businesses. I've got a larger mission. I'm here to save the planet. I'm here to work on liberal principles like saving the Oregon Mountains. That's why I'm here. I don't want to waste my time. I don't want to dirty myself talking to business leaders and owners, because frankly, I find that distasteful. I've got important things that I'm working on. I mean, I'll let you, I don't have any inside information, but I'll let you use your imagination. You know? All right, switching gears here a little bit. Meryl Streep attacked the president-elect. Now, at the beginning of the show, I kind of put all the things together. The loss of the business here of Sitel. The refusal of Hollywood to accept the new president, even though he was a member of Hollywood. He had one of the top-ranked shows on TV, so he is one of these people. They attack him, and this is it's just wave after wave after wave. These actors are like, you know, the Walking Dead. They just continue to walk into get stabbed in the head and run over and pushed off cliffs and everything. How much credibility does Hollywood have? And what right does it have to attack the president? And on what grounds? If the president was legally elected without fraud, why are they trying to discredit him? I mean, the country that we're living in is so bizarre. Why did they think they could stop the presidency through the Electoral College? And why did they think that in throwing tantrum after tantrum and acting like that they are too good for this president, and that the democratic process doesn't mean anything unless they give it a thumbs up? Well, you know, there's so much going on in this country right now. We've got this war between the people who believe in the Constitution and freedoms and liberty and, even locally, who believe in capitalism, and these other yahoos who are in this bizarre cult, this leftist cult, which will not be satisfied until it totally makes a mockery and an embarrassment out of itself from beginning to end. Here's Meryl Streep's attack against the president. This is at the Golden Globes.
There's one performance this year that stunned me. It sank its hooks in my heart, not because it was good. There was nothing good about it, but it was effective and it did its job. It made its intended audience laugh and show their teeth. It was that moment when the person asking to sit in the most respected seat in our country imitated a disabled reporter, someone he outranked in privilege, power, and the capacity to fight back. It kind of broke my heart when I saw it, and I still can't get it out of my head because it wasn't in a movie. It was real life. And this instinct to humiliate when it's modeled by someone in the public platform, by someone powerful, it filters down into everybody's life because it kind of gives permission for other people to do the same thing. Disrespect invites disrespect. Violence incites violence. When the powerful use their position to bully others, we all lose. Okay, go up with that thing. Okay, this brings me to the press. We need the principled press to hold power to account, to call them on the carpet for every outrage.
This is like the most hilarious thing I've ever seen. You've got a very corrupt group of people in Hollywood who put out a lot of garbage shows and movies. There are some good movies out there. There are some good TV series. But a lot of what Hollywood puts out is total garbage. And you must have noticed that you've got all of these superhero stories out there. Spider-Man, Superman, Batman, I mean, you name it. Why do we have shows like this that there doesn't seem to be any end of? It's like because stories about human beings are not being made anymore. But, you know, if you go out through history, there are an uncountable number of heroic stories that would make great movies, even if you adapted them for the modern era. Apparently, Hollywood is not interested in that. But so you've got all of these people in Hollywood, and I know that Meryl Streep, I believe, has an education, a good education, but a lot of these people in Hollywood, for instance, Jennifer Lawrence, who got up and attacked the president. Jennifer Lawrence has been acting since she was 14. She only has a high school degree. Many people in Hollywood drop out of high school to go to Hollywood and against all odds make it. I salute that. But the idea that people whose entire job description is to pretend to be other people or sing and dance are the arbiters of what is good and bad economic or policy or political practice. I don't know about you. I'm so tired of these people, because the ones that do it are rich and famous and powerful beyond anything that we can imagine in terms of being able to influence others. And then they have to, you know, basically poison the atmosphere of what they're supposed to be doing, which is entertaining and distracting, by pretending that they are Aristotles of politics. It's just, but all of these people are in this crazy cabal to discredit and destroy Trump. Why? The implication, by the way, that Ms. Streep gives when she's giving this speech is, we had this wonderful candidate who was pushed out of the way by this horrible monster, this Hitler. But I mean, is that true? Did we really avoid this incredible candidate because this bully showed up? Anyway, we'll take a break here. Got a lot more for you. 523-1450 to call in. This is a fight, and thank God that somebody got in who's not part of this corrupt system to fight against it. I have no idea what Trump's presidency will look like, but I'll guarantee you one reason that a lot of people supported him is he was willing to push back and fight back against these people. And like I say, it's like a zombie army. There's no end to it. 717 Kelly O'Connell AM Las Cruces AM 1450 523 1450. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Kelly.
Kelly, good morning.
Hey, Bill, what's up?
Long time no talk.
Yeah, how you been?
I'm fine. Look, I'm in total agreement with what you're talking about, but who's really to blame for this? People in this town have elected this guy 3 times to be the mayor. And you just can't seem to break this voting cycle in this county.
Well, why is that?
I don't know. I've been trying to understand it my whole life, and I do not understand it. Everybody complains about it, but they keep electing the same old people.
Well, let's talk about
it.
Yeah, let's get it out there.
You know, I just don't understand it myself, but look at this last election cycle.
Yeah, it's terrible, man. I don't know what to tell you. And we reelected the left. We reelected the left on the, on
legislature.
Yeah.
Gave it right back to the Democrats.
Yeah.
Another 60 years.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that's just my little 2 cents worth there. The people that keep electing
these
people.
I'm back on the air, Bill. Did you want to say anything on the air? I'm back on the air. Yeah. All right, it is Kelly here, and somebody just texted me and said, I sound sad. I guess I feel kind of beat down that what's the leadership in this town trying to do? I mean, the mayor could have a personal conversation with every single person in this city And in doing so, from what I've observed, he would talk down to everybody and let everybody know through his mannerisms, through his tone, through the topics, through the way that he reacted to you, that he found you to be insignificant, a vermin, a worm, not, you know, not worth stepping on. Now, where this guy got this habit, I don't know. It's one of the worst things I've ever seen. But I mean, I think that's symbolic. That's the same thing that we saw of Obama when he got up and talked down to people. And now you see Obama's empire is crumbling. It's he's got a handful of sand. He doesn't have a legacy. He doesn't have the president doesn't have a legacy because he decided to ignore the legislative process. And I've got this great article by Michael Barone, and he has got this great. Let me just get into it here. Government by faculty lounge subject to repeal, and. Here, let me just read a little bit of this for you. President Obama went to Capitol Hill last Wednesday to counsel congressional Democrats on how to save Obamacare, or at least that's how his visit was billed. But to judge from the responses of some of the Democrats, his advice was typical of the approach he's taken to legislation in his 8 years as president, which is to say disengaged, above the fray, detached from any detailed discussion of how legislation actually works. He was, quote, very nostalgic, said Lewis Slaughter, ranking Democrat on the House Rules Committee. But she added, he left it up to the Hill Democrats to come up with a strategy to protect Obamacare. Next paragraph. This is in line with the standoffish relations Obama has had with members of Congress, even with Democrats who are inclined to be incapable of being helpful. Schmoozing with those he gives the impression of regarding as his inferiors has not been his style. Nor has he ever seemed interested in the content of laws, even his trademark health care legislation. His February 2010 decision to move forward on Obamacare, despite the election of Republican Senator Scott Brown in Massachusetts, meant accepting a bill with multiple flaws, many of them glaringly visible after passage. But policy just wasn't his thing, and it isn't now. At the Hill meeting, Obama, according to Massachusetts Democrat Bill Keating, was, quote, basically saying, let's not get down into policy language. The key word there may be down. So here is a person with kind of a similar attitude towards people that the mayor has. Now, who knows? Maybe the mayor went through some traumatic life events that caused him to develop as a defense. The habit of you know, speaking in a condescending tone to other people, you know. And apparently, you might point out, it can't be that bad. He's been elected and reelected as the mayor of the city. But what is the mayor doing to help us? What is the city council doing? I mean, to me, Ken Miyagashima is just a symbol of the failure of this city and county. And here's another symbol. I mean, this is failure incarnate right here. They put together a bus system after the people voted it down a couple of times. The county, led by Bill Garrett and Wayne Hancock, put together a bus system that costs in the millions. Last month, there were hundreds of trips by this ghost bus fleet in which nobody was on it. No, not one person was riding a big bus going up and down the county roads. So here we are losing one of the largest employers in the city, and the mayor doesn't indicate anything that he's done to try to save them from leaving. He just, well, that's, you know, it's like, you know, how would the mayor stop the floods here? Speaking of flooding. Or snow, or sandstorm. That's nature. Although the mayor obviously thinks he can have an impact on global warming, but that's another question, another issue. But what has the mayor done? Did the mayor call up Sitel and say, what can we do? Why are you leaving? What was it? You were here for 10 years. You're leaving after 10 years. Everything's set up. The cost of setting up this business is already done. We love you here. Sitel is important to us. Did the mayor do that? No. Well, maybe he did and he didn't mention it. But, I mean, I think it would be a good idea to call City Hall and ask him, since they're not leaving until March, if they will reconsider and what we can do, what laws and regulations we could change that would help them stay. Now, the problem with that is that these people on the far left, of which the mayor is one, which is why he signed us up for the United Nations ICLEA, this United Nations Agenda 21 group, from what I understand, that these people on the left act like God speaks through legislation, and that to the idea of cutting back on a tax or trimming back regulations or making it easier to get through the, you know, City Hall and the bureaucracy and everything would be like, you know, desecrating a temple. But the purpose of laws and regulations is to make life better for people, correct? So what are we doing here to make life easier for incoming businesses, more attractive? Do you think that Sitel leaving another empty building? I mean, how many empty buildings are there? There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. Maybe there's thousands. I don't know. I've never seen a city that seemed more depopulated. The business zones seem more depopulated. But do you think, let me just ask you this, just one question. An executive from a nationally recognized chain, an up-and-coming chain, flies here to see about investing millions in the local county to build a franchise. He gets in his rental car and he starts driving through the city, goes to, you know, City Hall, drives around. What conclusion is somebody like that, a leader from a national chain, what conclusion is he going to draw when he drives through the city and sees empty building after empty building after empty building, many of them in lines, empty shopping centers? That person is going to say, this is a poor town that it, for whatever reason, looks like it's hard for businesses to make it here. And after he deals with the city in trying to get a license, he's going to say, I don't think that my business wants to have to go through this to then have a franchise in a town that can barely afford to buy a cup of coffee, you know. 728 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1455-23, 1450. We'll be right back.
The whistle blows, say a prayer for me. I'll be home on my way.
All right, so Kelly, back 7:33, and all right, so we've got the story of the stories is that Sitel is pulling out of this area, and you know, this is a crisis. This is a crisis for the city. It's a crisis for the income of the residents. It is a crisis for the, you know, the tax structure here. And what is the city doing about it? Was there an emergency meeting? Did the mayor or the county commission, the head of the county commission, request a meeting to discuss this? This is a crisis, and you know, we're losing this business. We've got a bad business economy here. We've got a, you know, apparently from what people are telling us, it's a difficult place to do business. It doesn't have to be. Look at all the states around us. And is there something that we can do about this? And I mean, the answer is, of course, there's something that we can do about it. But do we have the will? I heard a statement recently by somebody that struck me as 100% accurate. And the statement was, basically decide how you're going to be treated by other people by what you accept. So in this county, we've accepted poor leadership and an awful laws and statutes that have created a poisonous atmosphere for businesses. And you don't have to believe me on this. And you could say, well, a Sitel's an anomaly. This is a wonderful place to do business. Look around you. Drive around the city. I dare one person who's got a day off, go do it on a Saturday, one person. Drive the major streets in this town and count how many empty business structures there are, how many empty business buildings there are. Hundreds and hundreds. Who would come here and see that and say, this is a great place to do business? I remember going over to Amarillo. There wasn't one, this is a few years ago, but there wasn't one empty building over there that wasn't under construction. And then I thought, that's crazy. Look at this. So you might say, well, they've got oil. Well, oil in and of itself doesn't create an economy. My main proof of this is look at Venezuela. Venezuela's got more oil reserves than any country in the world, and it is in total free fall. And people have to leave the country to get medical care. They said that Colombia, the hospitals are overwhelmed by patients from Venezuela, the country on its border, and will be overwhelmed in the near future because they have a socialist model just like we want in this town. And the socialist model doesn't work. And the proof of that is that there's no economy there and the people are starving to death. They have to go to the zoo and kill animals to have meat. What does that tell you? We have a phone call. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connor Show is this.
Tony.
Tony, thanks for the call. And what's on your mind?
And when you're talking about Sitel leaving, and I have friends who have business in this community, and they always tell me how tough it is to do business here, but also how tough it is to get qualified employees. So that could also be part of the problem here. My wife works in the healthcare industry, home healthcare, and she tells me stories about 40 people applying for a job and 35 won't pass the drug test.
All right, but what are we doing? Let me ask you this. What's the leadership of the county and the city doing to attract business here? Instead of spending millions of dollars on a ghost bus fleet that doesn't even have any passengers, and instead of getting up and making speeches at ribbon cutting ceremonies when he's not talking down to people, the mayor, what are these people doing? How can you have a community if it doesn't have an economy?
My theory on all this sometimes is the fact that there's a democratic liberal leadership. They couldn't care less if people work, because the more they keep people under their thumbs on welfare, the more control they have. And this state has 50% of its population on some kind of assistance.
Have you ever known a family that was on state aid that was thriving, that you went over and said, man, the quality of life of this family, it's off the hook,
Oh, of course not. And this state is horrible as far as women's issues, protecting women against abusive husbands, protecting children against abuse. What is there to, our schools are horrible. We have nothing to really offer a business or employees to come here.
Where's the leadership? Where are the people? Instead of this, it's like Obama light. It's like this self-satisfied, I'm the greatest leader in history. I'm the fourth greatest president in history. And while everything goes to just, everything falls into pieces on the national scene, where's the local leadership?
It's kind of like when the Mussolini-Hitler thing, honestly, and I'm not comparing our leadership to them, but the egomaniacal, narcissistic approach that those leaders take, couldn't care less about the people, but they feel good about themselves and what.
The news. I agree 100%. The newspaper interviews the mayor. What do you think about Sytel leaving? What's his go-to move? It's not my fault. It's not the fault of the minimum wage going up. Where's the statement? I called them. We're in negotiations. We're going to try to save some of the jobs. I'm asking them what it is about the city or the county that makes them want to leave, because they're hiring for Sytel in Albuquerque. So don't tell me that the business model doesn't work in the United States. It doesn't work in this county.
Correct. And you know, the thing is, we're not offering maybe a tax break to stay here, because liberals see that as feeding the corporate beast.
Yeah.
They don't look at the overall picture of the job.
Yeah, you want to see somebody get angry, say to a liberal, we should make some incentive for a business to stay, because from the liberal mindset, they have the Marxist idea that all business owners are evil, greedy millionaires who are taking advantage of the poor. They're building their fortunes off the poor. And so the business, you know, what they really want is to punish the rich. So they figure out ways to do that. In this town, there are no rich. The economy is one of the worst in the United States, and we're driving away one of the largest employers. It is a catastrophe. The mayor doesn't even act like it's any big deal. It's like he sees a dead sparrow by the side of the road. He just shrugs.
And it doesn't to him. It doesn't, because as long as he's not, like I said, feeding the beast, that's corp, he feels good about what he's doing. They don't see the big picture. They just don't. They don't understand the big picture. It's not in their belief.
Tony, I would call on everybody listening to this show to take 5 minutes out of your day, call up City Hall and ask the mayor what he's planning on doing to persuade Sytel to stay, instead of acting like it's a tsunami or a hurricane or something. It's a naturally occurring event that has no human cause, unless it's global warming. What has the mayor done to try to get Sytel to change their mind? If the mayor is too good, he's too important to do something like that, then ask him to resign.
That sounds like a good idea. I'm all for it. I'll make the call myself.
Thank you, Tony. Anything else?
No, that was it for today.
Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Great call. All right, folks. How can we stand up for ourselves when our leadership refuses to do it? I've got some, by the way, some, speaking of stormy weather in the city, in the economy, catastrophic, isn't it, to lose your biggest employer? And then your response to the paper is, not my fault. It's like Obama. Not my fault the healthcare prices are skyrocketing. If it wasn't for Obamacare, they'd really be high. I mean, that's the attitude of the mayor. Call him up and challenge him. Democratic government is supposed to be representative, although I don't think the mayor ever heard that. Here's on the flood in California.
Life-threatening flooding continues to wallop northern and central California. Flooding, mudslides, and travel disruptions have already been reported and should continue to mount. Several storms will crash onto the California coast, unleashing rounds of torrential rainfall and significant snow across northern and central California into Wednesday. Total rainfall from the weekend to midweek could surpass a foot across the western slopes of the mountains. 2 to 8 inches are expected across the lower elevations, including the I-5 corridor. Runoff from the heavy rain and melting snow will unleash tremendous amounts of water into the streams and rivers, flowing out of the Sierras into the Central Valley and also western Nevada.
It's already happened, folks, and here's another clip for you, and this is from Reuters, but this is from more rain and snow. And pardon me.
Aim at California and threatening to bring record flooding, prompting homeowners to do what they can to protect their property.
I think this will direct a lot of the water, the road, and...
Talking about sandbagging anyway, I don't need to go into too much more, but... tremendous flooding over there. Like I say, keep these people in your prayers. We'll take a little break here and be right back. 744 Kelly O'Connell Show. Excuse me, AM Las Cruces 523-1450.
Put me off in Texas. But did I leave it up? Why do pieces all around me? And it's all
All right. So anyway, I'm reading this article from the Weekly Standard. Incurable Obamacare. Democrats are addicted to Obamacare. It has performed poorly, alienated far more people than it has aided, and been a political disaster. Yet Democrats can't shake it. In 2010, it was the issue that delivered the House to the Republicans. In 2014, it gave them the Senate. In 2016, it was one of the keys to Donald Trump's capture of the White House. After this, a rational party would want to scrap Obamacare or modify it significantly. President Obama himself has tinkered, but nothing more. Democrats act as if it is essential to national well-being as Medicare and Social Security. According to Nancy Pelosi, it's been a big success. So what is it? What is it? What's going on here? I would offer for you and proffer for you the idea that we're experiencing one of the most astounding and destructive cults in the history of humanity. I would argue the greatest cult in history, that the most destructive and unreal and anti-human cult we have ever seen is liberalism, modern liberalism, far leftism. How else can you explain a group of people coming together and creating a completely unworkable healthcare plan? And you heard the clip that I played last week. They went into Pennsylvania to try to find out why people there voted for Trump. A guy and his wife were sitting in a diner, and they said, "What do you think? Why did Trump get elected or whatever?" And they said it was Obamacare. And they said, "What? Why?" The lady says, "Worst piece of legislation in history." This is from experience. Her husband says, "My original rate on my health care was $400, and it was a good health care plan. Now it's $1,700, and the deductible has risen to $10,000. I mean, that's, you don't need any more evidence after that. And the Democrats want to save it. Obama wants to save it. He's staying in Washington to fight in this guerrilla team. And the president has acted the entire time like he's been a guerrilla fighter. You know, he never bought into the system. Very skeptical about the American democracy. Passive aggressive. Totally contradictory. Totally acting in ways against the interest of America in case after case. And acts like the key to the future of the world is in him staying in Washington and making sure all of his executive orders are reinforced. And as you heard from that Michael Barone, if you're listening earlier, Michael Barone says that he never had any interest in the details of policy or legislation. All he cared about was broad ideas. He was there to deliver some sort of secular salvation, and all he needed was broad statements of what he wanted, and these crowds listening to him would have swept it up and turned it into law. He is still apparently an ignoramus when it comes to persuading people to support his laws. Now, somebody said I was depressed today. Here's a little stand-up for you, Nate Bargatze.
we've been married for 10 years, and we still fight. Like, you can, when you're married, fighting is open 24 hours, anytime. We got in a fight recently at 3 a.m. We woke up to get in this fight, and we live in Nashville, and we have a dog that freaks out when it thunders. So it was like thundering. So we have sedatives to give her, because there's only so many times you can tell a dog it's just thunder before you're like, just take this. Hope this works. I'm not going to hold you through it, you know. So I wake up, and I had asked my wife. I was like, hey, where are the sedatives at? And she was like, they're the top of the cabinet. So I go get them. When I get them, I looked at the bottle, and the bottle said they were expired. So I had to like wake her back up. I was like, hey, these say they're expired. And she was like annoyed. She's like, they're not expired. Those are new pills in an old pill bottle. And I was like, all right, you know, I should have thought of that. That's my fault. I mean, people come to our house all the time and they get milk and they're like, is this milk expired? And I have to go, that's new milk in an old milk jug. Are you the stupidest person I've ever met in my life? How could you not figure that out? That's basically what I told her. It wasn't as fun as that, you know, but that was the gist. And instead of just saying, you're right, that's a logical statement, she dives all in and tells me it doesn't matter because dog medicine can't even expire, which she's never even heard a rumor about that. She doesn't know that. We don't know any dog medicine people. I know who she knows. And we don't know one dog medicine maker that's like texting her, like, let me tell you a secret about dog medicine. We've invented medicine that can't expire. All right. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it.
Nate Bargatze on The Tonight Show. Anyway. All right, so my summary of all this is that the city council and the county commission have become a microcosm of the larger failure in the United States that is related to this cult. And why do I say that liberalism is the world's most destructive and anti-human cult? Look at what happened when you applied liberalism, the foundation of liberalism, according to every scholar you care to read, is Marxism, far leftism, socialism. The kind of stuff that you run into in the United States ultimately has roots in the writings of Marx and people like him. Marx is just is not the end all be all. He's basically the summary. He's an emblem. He's a symbol of leftist ideas. What all these people on the left think is that there's this way that the world should be. And if you don't make the world into a socialist utopia, then you're bringing down destruction and judgment on you. Even though there's really not a God to take part in the judgment, you're bringing down the elements of nature in the universe are going to come down and destroy you. And in fact, it's the exact opposite. When you put socialist utopian ideas in place, that's when disaster strikes. And so how many people did the communists kill in Russia? How many people did the communists kill in China? All because leftism doesn't really fit in with human society. So you end up killing the people who resist it or you claim are resisting it. I mean, it's nuts. It's absolutely crazy. One of the things I've tried to do on the show is repeatedly show that in different ways so that we, whoever's listening, can have the encouragement to stand up against these people in this county, in this city, who are taking away the vitality of our life. You know, you can't have bad business policies and then expect businesses from across the United States to come flooding in, or brave local souls who've decided that against all odds and logic, they're going to open a family business, because you see the proof of in the remains of failure after failure. All of the people who built business properties in town must have thought they would be housing a business and paying for rent, because why would they build them if they didn't? And yet you see there's one catastrophic decision after another to decide to build these things. And now you've got talked to the mayor about this, and he didn't say that he was going to try to save it. What he said was that we've got, I mean, this is, to me, this is surreal what the mayor said. Miyagishima said, the mayor said the city was already looking at options to fill the building and attract or create new jobs as quickly as possible. The mayor says they are vacating the building. You've got a highly trained, experienced workforce with managers, supervisors, everything you need. And so he's saying there's basically a turnkey operation, like there's somebody out there waiting for the Sitel building, for Sitel to get closed, and for all of the people to be unemployed and all the managers, so that they can come in with a secret plan to take over the Sitel building with a new business. That's what the mayor's saying. Or that some company's going to rush in here. That shows you how disconnected he is. Mr. Mayor, I'm begging you, go call these people and find out what it is, why they're leaving. And ask them to stay. I mean, you know, find out what we need to change so they can stay and so we can attract more people, more businesses in this area. Thanks for listening. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450, AM Las Cruces, and we'll meet you back in 22 hours. Thanks a lot. Ciao.
With the blues, say a prayer for me. I'll be hoping my way.